Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Good to see you all here this morning. We've come to seek the face of Jesus and be instructed from his word, we trust. Find encouragement for the journey that lays ahead for each one of us. As I prayed and pondered about a meditation for this morning, throughout the week, my thoughts went to what I suggested I might share sometime. When I shared the last message, do you remember what that was? That's all right. Don't be shy. It's all right if you forgot. I probably... You're in the right channel. I suggested I might share a message on God's anger and his wrath. That's where my thoughts were throughout the week, but yesterday as I was continuing to ponder and pray, even have spent some time doing some reading about that subject, just driving down the road yesterday and without thinking I found myself singing a song. I don't know if you all sing while you're going down the road. I hope that's all right. I find myself doing that quite a bit. I was singing that song in my mind at least. The refrain is, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then I pondered our congregational activities over the next couple weeks, next week being communion, and the following week, revivals. Think about what God might have for us and how we draw close to God and to Jesus during those times. I felt led to turn my focus to that thought. The title of this morning's message is, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. That is what we will want to do next Sunday in a special way. But I believe it's important that we have our eyes and our focus on Jesus throughout all of life. I believe times of communion and revival, searching of hearts, is a time when we put special emphasis on focusing on Jesus and our journey of life with him and how he would have us to live. If you want a Bible reference, theme verse, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 follows the chapter 11 where we read about the heroes of faith. The life that they lived, the faith that they had in their God, and the challenges that they faced in their time. Then the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says, Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily, or the sin that would detract us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then verse 2 says, Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. For consider him which endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto sin. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. We have the example of Jesus and his dedication to do the will of God, to fulfill the calling of God for his life. And so this morning, in a special way, we want to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We want to look into his wonderful face. We want to allow the things of earth to grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and in the light of his grace. And that's our 5 points this morning that we find in that refrain. First one, our first point this morning, as we think of turning our eyes upon Jesus. It's a personal call and a personal choice. A personal call and a personal choice. How many of you here this morning, how many of us have heard of Jesus? As I was reading through some of the gospel accounts, and we'll turn to some of them, or at least to one of them. And we'll see those who became followers, those who became disciples of Jesus. had Jesus presented to them. They saw him, and they were called to a decision. It's a personal call, a personal choice. Turn with me to John chapter 1. We'd like to read some of the words of John, the forerunner of Christ, as he attempted to prepare people for the Messiah, as he, by God's help, by God's calling, was a forerunner, one who tried to help people to understand that this is the Messiah, this is the Jesus, this is the one that we've been longing for and waiting for. You read through the Old Testament and you read of the longings of God's people for the Messiah. They were watching for him and longing for him. In fact, Hebrews chapter 11 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promise, but saw it afar off. They continued on faithfully, longing and waiting for the coming of the Messiah. But here in John chapter 1, I'd like to pick up at verse 29. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, beholding Jesus. John chapter 1 and verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not. But that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come, baptizing with water. We'll just continue reading there. So we have John sees Jesus coming and walking, and he looks at Jesus, and he exclaims, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. That's the Jesus that we want to turn our eyes toward this morning. That's the Jesus that we walk with day by day. But in a special way, in these days, in these next couple of weeks, we want to turn our eyes toward Jesus, and we want to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, put this in context. This is John the Baptist, and he is rejoicing that this is the one who was prophesied to come. This is the Messiah. This is he who would come and take away the sin of the world. Up until this time, there were many sacrifices made, much blood shed to cover sin. But John proclaims, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Just a few verses later, in verse 35, picking up again. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. There was a result of John saying, behold the Lamb of God. Two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, what seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is, being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree. Believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereinafter you shall see the heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Can we get a visual picture of what was happening here as the Messiah was being revealed to these people? They were seeing him in person. They were beholding him with their eyes. And I'm picturing them as they looked on Jesus. And obviously, a conversation ensued. There was conversation happening between Nathanael and Jesus, between Philip and Jesus. Eye contact, if you will. Communication. And they followed Jesus. But John was very influential in his cry that and his rejoicing. Behold the Lamb of God. And so a personal call, a personal invitation came to these different ones that we just read about. And they had a personal choice to make. What would they do with this one Jesus that they were brought face to face with? They turned their eyes toward him. They heard what he had to say. And it says they followed him. In Revelation chapter 5, 11 through 14, we have that cry, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory. I should turn to that. It's a very beautiful passage. We'll just read a couple of verses there. Revelation, I apologize, I should have that by memory. I don't trust my memory on that one. Revelation 5, 11 through 14. Verse 11, And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the numbers of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Behold the Lamb of God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. As we move through communion, as we move through our revivals, let's turn our eyes upon Jesus. Let's be followers of him. If we have not yet chosen to follow him, let's choose to follow him. Let's make that choice. Let's worship him. Those of us who have already made that choice, let's continue to look into the face of Jesus, turn our eyes toward him, and cry out, Behold the Lamb of God, that others might see him and follow him and know him. Turn with me to John chapter 6. It's a personal call. It's a personal choice this morning. As we turn our eyes toward Jesus, and I believe to every one of us here this morning, Jesus is known to us. We have beheld him. We have seen him. All of us have seen him. We know who he is. Will you turn your eyes continually toward him? It's a personal call, a personal choice. John chapter 6, verses 66 through verse 69. It's a long chapter. John 6, verse 66. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. And so we have here a very sad picture of those who were his followers. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. There were people who looked to Jesus, looked Jesus in the eye, who had conversation with him, who were his followers, they were his disciples, and it says they walked no more with him. A choice every one of us needs to make. As we are brought in contact with Jesus, we behold him with our eye of faith. Surely there is no one here this morning is questioning whether there is a Jesus, whether he exists. But every one of us needs to make a choice whether we will be his follower, choose to be one of his disciples, and whether or not we will continue in that way as we face the challenges and tests of life. May we conclude with Simon Peter, "To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Point number two, look full in his wonderful face. Look full in his wonderful face. Oh, to be a follower of Jesus, to look into the face of Jesus, to be more acquainted with him, to understand more fully his will and his purpose for your and my life. As you look into his face and hear his words, hear his teachings, turn with me to Luke chapter 10, that very familiar account of Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 10. We have here a man who desired to see Jesus. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. Zacchaeus, a man who heard about Jesus, he heard Jesus was going to be coming by, and he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to look into the face of Jesus, if you will. And let's read this account. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. This is not right. Where do we read about Zacchaeus? I wonder if it's in Mark. Yeah, it's not Mark 10. Well, maybe we just need to refer to it. The account is very familiar. We have Jesus coming to this area. Zacchaeus is aware that he is coming. He desires to see the face of Jesus. And he runs ahead and he climbs up into a sycamore tree so that he would be able to see Jesus. And he couldn't see him because he was short of stature, the scriptures say, and of the great crowd. So there he is. He scampers up into the sycamore tree. And as Jesus comes by, Jesus looks up and sees him. And he tells Zacchaeus to come down because I'm going to come to your house. We believe this all was a result of Zacchaeus' heart's desire to connect with Jesus, to see Jesus. So he comes down from the tree and he goes to takes Jesus with him to his house. And he tells Jesus that he wants to make his wrongs right. He wants to return that which he took that he should not have taken by fourfold, I believe it is. But it all started with a desire to see Jesus. We believe Zacchaeus wanted to look into the wonderful face of Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. To look full at something reminds me or would depict the idea of a diligent searching for. A willingness to go to that extra effort to see, which Zacchaeus did. He went to that extra effort to position himself that he could see Jesus. A challenge for us today, and I'd like to leave with all of us. Let's position ourselves that we can see Jesus as he is and who he is and what he wants to be in our lives. We need to position ourselves that we could look full in his wonderful face. If we're going to really see Jesus in his beauty and in his splendor, we're going to need to live lives of purity and holiness, separate from sin. We can't see Jesus as he truly is until that is our heart's condition. And we also have to have the desire that Zacchaeus displayed, that we are ready to confess sin, confess wrongdoing, and do whatever we can to correct our relationship with our fellow man. So Zacchaeus had a desire to see Jesus. He had a desire to fellowship with Jesus. He made a commitment to Jesus that he was willing to remove or correct anything that would detract from a relationship with him. Is that our desire this morning? Again, as we work through the next couple of weeks and the activities of our congregation, may it be a time when we look full into the wonderful face of Jesus and remove any obstacle. Any obstacle. What are the obstacles in your and my life that would detract from us looking full into his wonderful face? Let's rid ourselves of any sin, any wrong thoughts, any grudges, on and on the list might go. What is it in your heart and in your life? What is it that God, through the Holy Spirit, might convict us of that we should remove whatever that obstacle might be? Point number three, as we think of turning our eyes upon Jesus, as we turn our eyes upon Jesus, point number three, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. How do we relate to the things of this earth? How do we relate to all the stuff that is around us? I believe a proper view of Christ and his claim and call in our lives will influence our view of earthly things. The earthly things that we have in the pursuits of life need to be subservient. God needs to be first in our life. The pursuit of God, the pursuit of Jesus and God's will for our lives. We need to see all that through the lens, if you will, of walking with Jesus and looking into the face of Jesus. That is our life. Our life is looking into the face of Jesus. And as we are looking into the face of Jesus, the things of this earth should grow strangely dim. They pale, if you will, to the things of God and looking into the face of Jesus. The bright face, the light of Jesus' face, and the walking in his ways. Let's go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, beginning at verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What a noble desire this man had. He wanted eternal life. What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he saith unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto them, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, Ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or fathers, or mothers, or wife, or children, or land, for my sake, my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. So we have this rich young ruler. He comes to Jesus. What good thing can I do, or should I do, to inherit eternal life? Keep the commandments. Well, I've kept all them. What lack I yet? What else can I do? Sell what you have, give to the poor, take up your cross, and come be my follower. That's a call that has come to every one of us, to put Jesus first. The things of earth will grow strangely dim. Let's put Jesus first in our lives. Put God first in your life. And everything else needs to fit into that, if you will. Everything else needs to fit into that. Everything falls under that heading. The title of our life is Follower of Jesus. The title of your life this morning is I am a follower of Jesus. And everything else you do in life, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, however many things it is that you do throughout your life, is under that heading, I am a follower of Jesus. Jesus asks different things of different people. It varies. Some he calls to be a teacher. Some he calls to be a preacher. Some he calls to be a father, a mother. There's great responsibilities that we all have, a husband, a wife. What has God called you to this morning? Whatever you do in life is under the heading, I am a follower of Jesus. The things of earth will grow strangely dim if that is the heading of our life. Is that the heading of your life this morning? Is Jesus first? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. They will pale. They will be of lesser importance. A test for all of us. What are you willing to give? What are you willing to sacrifice to follow Jesus? To follow his call for your life? To put your priorities in place as he would call you to varied responsibilities in your journey of life. Point number four. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Point number four, in the light of his glory. As we think of the glory of Jesus, we read that, referred to that passage in Revelation chapter 5 already. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and riches. It goes on with a list of things that he's worthy to receive. As we think of the glory of Jesus, what is so glorious about Jesus? Behold the Lamb of God, which does what? Taketh away the sin of the world. As we confessed our sins, he took our sins away. They're not remembered against us. They're remembered against us no more. As far as the east is from the west, and you know how far that is, they're gone. They're underneath the blood. In the sea of God's forgetfulness. How does that children's song go? Ends up, that's good enough for me. It doesn't come to me right now. But that's where our sins are gone because of Jesus. In the light of his glory, he is worthy of our worship and our praise. A growing view of Christ's glory will develop a growing dedication to Jesus. As we read the scriptures, and as we on our knees thank God for sending Jesus into the world to provide a way of deliverance from sin, as we experience it in our own personal heart, we look up to Jesus. We look into his face by faith. And we thank him and we worship him. And his glory exceeds anything else that our mind can turn to. Jesus wants to be your Savior. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your friend. He's your coming King. He's the Eternal One. His name is above every name. It's at His name that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. He's the Eternal One. He's the one that we want to spend eternity with, where we will praise Him forever and ever. Do you view His glory? Do you turn your focus there? Is He in your thoughts? Is that your foremost thought? Examine your mind. Examine your thoughts this morning. Where are your thoughts as you go about your work? Depending on what your occupation is, you need to concentrate more on what you're doing. If you're a school teacher, you have to concentrate on teaching the lessons. You don't have the opportunity to have thoughts that would wander from that. But depending on what your occupation is, or in those quiet moments of your life, whenever it is, as you're driving, as you're going about your work, or throughout the evening, or you lay upon your bed before you go to sleep. Thoughts about Jesus, who He is, what He means to you. The glory of Jesus. We want to turn our eyes and our thoughts toward Him. And the glory that He deserves to flow from our, the response of our hearts, the glory of who He is. Excuse me. And point number 5, turn your eyes upon Jesus in the light of His grace. In the light of His glory, we just looked at now, in the light of His grace. John chapter 1, verse 17 says, grace and truth came by Jesus. This morning, do we really realize what Jesus has delivered us from? What the grace of God has provided to undeserving mankind? This has been made possible through the atoning work of Jesus on Calvary. Grace and truth came by Jesus. That is John speaking in John 1 and verse 17. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17 admonished them and us today to receive of the abundance of grace. The abundance of grace this morning. God's abundant grace through Jesus provides salvation and provides grace for the issues of life and the journey of life. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7 speak of the riches of His grace, the dimension, the dimension and the riches of His grace. We cannot comprehend that. Ephesians 2 verses 5 and verse 8 speak of the fact that by grace ye are saved. Not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace is a gift from God. And so this morning, throughout the coming weeks and throughout your life, the challenge is to turn your eyes upon Jesus, to look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. We've all been presented to Jesus. There's no one here this morning that doesn't know who I'm talking about when I talk about Jesus. But we each need to personally respond, to experience the blessings in Him, to put Him first in our lives, and to receive this abundant grace. May God bless each one of you in your journey of life, in your walk with Him today, this coming week, in the coming weeks, and throughout the remainder of your life. Keep your eyes turned toward Jesus. We want to come to prayer, and then maybe our song leader could lead us in that song. I think it's in Zion's Phrases. Is it number 266, maybe? We could sing that song following prayer. Shall we kneel for prayer?